Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We have to have foundation to build on. And the foundation is the Word of God. In order to be a in order to be able to really follow Jesus our Lord in what is going to happen here, we need to lay down what we think we know at Jesus' feet. Please listen to this for a minute. 1 Corinthians 8:1. Do you have a notebook? Are you taking notes?
Does anybody need
Do you need a notebook? The first verse was Psalm 11:3. The next verse is whatever I said. 1 Corinthians 8:1-2. Now it's touching things, Lord, I ask that they today we would pay attention on purpose. And I pray that you would help us to hear in the Spirit. Dear Holy Spirit, the words that are spoken, we can only put them in their ears. But we're asking you to take them and place them deep in our hearts that they would take root and bring forth fruit to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians 8:1-2. Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. Does anybody get a picture? But charity, godly love, edifieth or builds up. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity builds up. Godly love. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. I'm asking, Father, in the name of your precious Son, Jesus, that today a spirit of repentance would fall upon us. Understanding that repentance is when we come into oneness with you and see, think, and feel about things the way you do. So, Lord, we want to come into repentance. We're asking you for a gift of repentance. Help us to acknowledge the truth that you would take us deep into that place where we could come into oneness with you. Even as Jesus prayed, John 17, make them one as we are one. Thank you, Jesus. Number one, we need to lay down what we think we know at Jesus' feet. Have you ever been to a meeting before? A God meeting, whatever you call these things, a conference or something. Have you ever been to one of these before? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I can't hear your head rattle. Okay, pay attention now. And you've left, and a year later, what did you get out of that meeting? Oh, we got warm fuzzies, and we danced around like as if, we belong locked up somewhere. I'm asking you, what did you get out of that meeting a year later? How did it impact your life? God bless you. How did it bring people to Jesus? How did it form Christ in you? I'm going to give you a clue. I do not like meetings. I love Jesus. People ask us to go do meetings, whether I'm supposed to attend or whether I'm supposed to preach. I have meetings all over the country people want me to come preach at, and I've been there for years. And whenever God says for me to go, I will. And until then, I don't want to go because I don't like meetings. I like Jesus. What are you up to? I want to get in on that. Psalm 16:11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. John 10:10. The thief, old smutty face, the devil, cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. These things I speak unto you, I think it's John 16, around verse 27. These things I speak unto you, that your joy may be full. You want a clue of how to get the most out of this day and any time you ever are sitting under the Word? And I mean personally or publicly. Would you like a clue? I'm just asking. I might be talking to one person in here. I'm hoping you get it. I don't know about the rest of them, but I'm hoping you get it. As you're hearing the Word, pray, take it, make a decision when you're hearing it. I don't care if you miss the next point. Get that. Whatever God, the Holy Spirit, is quickening, doing, moving inside of you, make a decision. We in America are under a philosophy of education that comes from two Greek words, literally translated means head packers. We go to school, shatawa. They hold up a piece of paper. They tell us what's on the paper. Did you read it? Yes, I read it. Now, little minor bird, tell me what's on the paper. Here, let's make it easy for you. We'll put the cookies on the bottom shelf. We'll make it multiple choice. We'll make it real easy for you. You don't have to own it. You don't have to understand it. Just can you remember it long enough to put it down on a piece of paper? Are you listening to me? Jesus, when he talked to people, you know what he did? One of the things he did, have you ever read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Do you ever notice how they're a lot alike? Do you think God has a stuttering problem? Repetition is the best teacher. And he keeps saying it over and over and over again. And there's times people that come here go, would you go on? Do you have to keep saying the same thing over and over and over again? When you get it, I will. Because God will tell me to. And until you get it, I'm going to keep saying the same thing. If you're just wanting to be entertained, I tell people, go somewhere else. They'll entertain you. I don't care about entertaining you. I had church without you. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be offensive. But I can't have church without God. I have got to have Him. For to me to live is Christ. To die is gain. To live is Christ. To live is Christ. To live is Christ. Colossians 3:3, your life, you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Do you want Jesus today? Or did you just come to get a few little nuggets and fill a little notebook and we went to a meeting and we danced around and we had fun and we got free pizza? Who cares? As you're hearing the Word, take each word. Dear Holy Spirit, I want this. This is, Jesus said, Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If you haven't read your Bible in the last year, you are going to get enough today to gag you. And as you hear it, Pray it. Make it yours. I need you. Open it up. Luke 24:45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Psalm 119:18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Are you with me? Knowledge puffeth up. See, we know that we all have knowledge, but knowledge puffs up. What good does what you know do you? Don't we know more than we do? What good is that? Be doers of the word, not hearers, only deceiving your own selves. What do you think? You know, it's bad enough that we have somebody running that got elected public office. Thank you, Jesus, antenna. Matthew 10:42, blessing. Thank you. It's bad enough that we have a president that deceives us. And we need to pray for him. I did not call him Obama. He is in a position. We honor the position, though I cannot honor the man. And I'm supposed to lift him up. We in America got what we deserve. Now listen to me. But the worst deception is self-deception. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Right now, Father, what we want to do is we choose to lay down what we think we know at Jesus' feet. What we want is we want to come into oneness with you. Not what we think your word meant, not what somebody taught us, not what we've experienced, not what we're holding on to as our own agenda. We want to die to our way. We want to lay it all down. We want to be Christians. Here's Jesus, God Himself. I don't really want to go through this, Father. It doesn't sound fun to me, getting stripped and beaten and all my friends leaving me and denying me. It doesn't sound fun like having to carry that cross and being whipped beyond recognition and beaten and then being nailed and hung up between heaven and earth as if I'm rejected of both heaven and earth, being spit on. And Lord, I don't think I like this, Father. I know I came for this, but I don't really want to do this. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You look in Luke 22:44, I believe it is, it says, as he considered this, to come to the end of himself, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. His body was literally dying, exploding within him, because of the death to himself he had to come to. Is pride good? I can't hear you. Is pride good? Does it not say God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble?
Yes.
Okay. Pride is the seed of all sin. It's the sin that got the worship leader of heaven kicked out.
That's right.
What I'm saying to you is, we need to break agreement with that. Lay down what we think we know at Jesus' feet. Let all we know be suspect and subject to His searching. Psalm 139:23-24. Search me. This is your prayer. This is my prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Any way that's not your way is wicked. And then lead me into the way everlasting, into your perfect way, that you and I could be like Enoch and get lost in the sunset and end up at your house. Thank you, Jesus. We want all that we believe and practice to be in perfect agreement with Jesus. Is that right? Lord, that's my prayer. That's my desire. 1 Timothy 6:3-5. If any man teach otherwise... We're going to be sharing things today that's going to color outside your comfort zone, going to mess with you. And you're going to sit here for a long time. Some of you may not be able to endure to then. Don't worry, you can still be saved. That's not what that verse is talking about. Okay? But I'm letting you know that you're going to get, a lot of stuff's going to happen today. And as we were praying earlier, Hebrews 4:12, as you come in contact with the Word of God, when God brought us to Grand Rapids, I knew God wanted us to come here, but my wife didn't. And I didn't want to drag her into it like I saw all the preachers do when I went to Bible college, dragging their wives and kids into stuff. Because, bless God, it's all about their ministry. And don't you understand? You see, the men didn't understand that it was a timing thing. The men didn't understand their first ministry was to their mate, to their family. They didn't understand. They didn't even have that in order. 1 Timothy 3:1-7, if a man not know how to rule his own house, how shall he rule the church of God? How are you going to do that? We think we can bypass things, blame it on everybody else. Oh, well, it's her fault, and she did this, and he did that. And I'm sorry, did you ever notice when you're pointing at somebody, you got three fingers pointing back at you? You'll find that in Matthew 7:1-5. It talks about, get that little big old telephone pole out of your eye. Could you please come extract this telephone pole out of my eye, please? So I can see clearly to get that little speck out of my neighbor's eye. We all have blind spots. And we're not aware of it. Because we're so full of pride. We're so full of self. We're so full of our own agendas. Well, God said He may have, but He still works within His Word. He still works within a framework of authority. God is a man of authority. He ordained it, and then He subjects Himself to it. And He works within that. If you've ever preached in different churches, you would go to one church and God flows like a mighty river. You go to another church and you can hardly get Him to come out. What is this, God? He said, you could have a good radio signal, but it doesn't do any good if you ain't got good receivers. He said, they ain't good receivers. And a lot of times, he'd say, it's because the leader won't let me do what I want. He's trying to get me to perform. He thinks I'm a seal. Here, God, you know, he's going to command God and tell God what to do. What we want is we want all that we believe and practice to be in perfect agreement with Jesus. 1 Timothy 6:3-5. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine, to the teaching, which is according to godliness, if any man teach otherwise and doesn't consent, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof, or out of that, comes envy and strife and railings and evil surmisings and perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Today, as we hear the word, as when my God brought my wife and I to Grand Rapids and said, I want you to stay here. My wife didn't want to be here. My wife and I went, because what God led us to do was to go, and what He led me to do was to go get a motel room. Don't tell anybody where we were. And all we were going to do was read our Bibles. We didn't sleep together. We didn't eat. All we did was read our Bibles. You know why? Because the principle in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God divides between the soul and spirit. It divides between our will and God's will. We say we want God's will, but we have so much in our thinking that's not His will. How do we know the difference? You have a decision to make? Spend a lot of time in the Word. Because as you spend time in the Word, God's going to make it very clear, your will and His will. Now, are you a real Christian or are you just a Christian with a little name tag? Because a Christian is like Jesus. Not my will. Not what I want. Not what I like. But thy will be done. Acts 18:24-26. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He moved in the light that he had. Therefore, God was going to give him more light. Do you understand? Faithful and little, ruler over much. Does that make sense? So what God did was he sent two other people to him. Their names were Aquila and Priscilla. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, who when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took this mighty man of God unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. He had to receive correction. But a wise man hears. We say we're under authority, but are we under authority? You'll find out. You'll find out when the authority doesn't let you do what you want to do. And God, when we used to go to Toronto and they had 2,000 to 5,000 people there in that church, 40 different countries every time we went there at least represented from around the world. We met people from every country in the world. It was amazing when we would go there. We went there about a dozen times. And what God instructed the people at Toronto to do was they said when people would be up waving their banners and dancing around, sometimes God would say, go tell that woman she needs to either go sit down or they would, you need to go in the back. You can't do it up front. Now, let's say God was telling you to do that. But when the authority said, go sit down, go to the back, are you under authority or not? Because God ordains authority. God sets it up. If the people went to the back and they sat down, or they went to the back or they sat down, whichever they told them to do, and they did it with a good attitude, not arguing, Bible says not answering again, you know, mouthiness is not a virtue. Then in a little while, the Holy Spirit would say, release them. Now they can dance up front because they're doing it in the right spirit. Jesus said to his disciples, you know not what spirit you are of. Remember when they came and said, hey, these people, you know, Jesus had his face set like a flint. He was heading toward Jerusalem to be crucified. He was on a mission, a man on a mission. Okay? And this city didn't want to receive him. And his two disciples said, Lord, they wouldn't receive you. So we want to command, you know, should we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? And Jesus said, you know not what spirit you are of. What spirit are we operating in? What spirit? Pride, humility. Unteachable, teachable. Hardened, pliable. What are we? We want all that we believe and practice to be in perfect agreement with Jesus. Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. We need God himself to be our instructor, mentor, teacher. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need God himself to be our instructor, mentor, teacher. Not what we've been taught, not what we've practiced. Have we all done church? I'm sorry? Or is any of you in here never been to a church? Okay? Or what they call a church? Do you know, have you ever opened a can and it said like corn and you opened it and it had green beans? Have you ever done that? Something could be mislabeled. Because they call it a church, just because they put a sign up, don't make it a church. Just because people tell me they're a Christian, don't mean they are. I've met a bunch of them that ain't. Okay? We need God to be our instructor. 2 Timothy 3:15 and 17. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. And it is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is not bad. Doctrine is needed. The word doctrine simply means teaching. And God is real big on doctrine. As a matter of fact, He wrote a whole book that's full of doctrine. It's called the Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof. Who wants to be reproved? Who wants to be corrected? Who wants to be straightened out? Who wants to be have that revealed to them? Not me. For correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. We talked about religion. We talked about religion as pride. I don't know. Did we talk about religion, or is that just something God and I were talking about? We don't want religion, do we?
No.
I'm sorry?
No.
Do we want? The way I preach it is, God has a holy puke attack about religion. In Revelation 2:4, He said, I would that thou wert cold or hot, but because thou wert lukewarm, I will have a holy puke attack. You see, He doesn't want religion. You'll find the word religion and religious, I don't remember if it's 5 or 6 times in the Bible, and every time but one, God's against it. And that's when He tells what pure religion is to Him. In James 1, I believe it's verse 26, pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep Himself unspotted from the world. There's two principles there. You ready? See, some people only understand, they'll read, and they try to live by rules, but there's principles that are behind the rules that you'll find those same principles repeated throughout the Scripture. There's two principles in James 1:26. He says, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. That's Jesus. Okay, you ready? That's to be others-minded. And then to keep Himself unspotted from the world. That's to be sanctified, or to be set apart unto God for a holy work. Do you understand? That are the two principles. And everything always comes back to the cross. If it doesn't come back to the cross, if it doesn't come back to Jesus, then we missed it. Because that's what the whole thing is about. It's coming back to Jesus. So Lord, we don't want pride. We don't want religion. What we want is a real relationship with You that so impacts us that it flows out. You flow out through us to others. Right? That's what we want. This is not a magical one-time meeting. This is to sow seeds of needed, fundamental, basic scriptural truths for us to build on properly. We've all done church, but I don't know that very many of us have ever done it His way. We had good feelings. I'm not saying you throw the whole baby out with the bathwater. I'm not saying that. I already went through that phase, okay, where I was death on church and mad and all this and didn't want nothing to do with it. I remember a time where my wife said, Harvey, I'm so tired of church. God had just taken us out of a church that pastor ended up in prison for life. And God wrote Ichabod over it, and that whole group disbanded because they weren't willing to do what God wanted. They were all men followers, not God followers. And my wife said, Harvey, I don't want to go to church anymore. You're a preacher. Can't we just have church in our home, just the two of us? I'm tired of dealing with all these people. And inside of me, I knew. If I wanted what she wanted, but inside of me, because I didn't like what we went through, I haven't liked what we went through in North American Christianity. See, when I met Jesus as a drug dealer, I met Jesus. It's like, whoa, check, wow, I met Jesus. See, 20 years of going to church and being baptized by 6 different churches by the time I was 20, I didn't need no more of that, man. I mean, you know, what am I supposed to do, wear a towel, you know? But I met Jesus. It's like, I just want more of Him. How do I get more of Him? I don't want to let Him go. How do I get more of Him? And then He says, I'm going to put you in a church. I'm like, thanks a lot. What's this about? I got to wear wingtips and wear a tie, hang myself, and got to wear this suit. I'm a little penguin. And then I got to have guilt, burden, manipulation, pressure, performance, control, and put in entertainment put on me. He said, I love my wife. I am not going to divorce her. I am not going to throw her out. He says, one of my characteristics that you're going to learn, Harvey, is called long-suffering. Would you like to know what that means in the Greek? It means to suffer long. It's real deep. And it will only cost you your life. And you won't like it at all. I promise. I've been living it. I don't like it at all. But I like the results. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory of the Lord Jesus. I believe that's 2 Peter 1:7. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Yes, dear. Okay. In the last days, perilous times shall come. And one of the, I think we're in the last days. I just got a clue. And what I'm going to say to you is, one of the things it says, they will not endure sound doctrine. Do you not find carnality running rampant, not just in the world, but in what we call the church? We had a good meeting. Why? Did Jesus show up? I don't know, but we got excited. Somebody prayed over me. I fell on the floor. I shook. Come with me. I can plug you into 110. You can have the same result. Is that what you want? An experience? All those experiences aren't necessarily Jesus. I see a whole lot of it that's not. God, this doesn't bear witness. He said, it ain't me. I'm not about that. It happens to me all the time, but I don't care about it. I don't care if it happens or not. What I care about is Him. Do you want Him? Do you want Jesus? Would we be willing to lay down all of our ideas and agendas about church? All that we've seen, practiced, experienced, and understood, would we be willing to lay that down? Well, right now, Lord, I am willing to lay it down, and I'm laying it down. Thank you, Jesus. I'm willing to do it your way. We truly can't pick up God's way if our hands and minds and hearts are full of any other way. None of us want religion or its results. Therefore, we need to start all over and let God teach us His way. Through His Word, bearing witness and leading us by His Spirit. Lord, we're asking You to remove the blocks. And we're asking You to help us to have anointed hearing that You said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Well, Lord, may that be true in our lives today. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. This is just preparation. I just thought I'd let you know. My wife, you're going to love what she's got.